Hello, everyone, and welcome to another big edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. As always, I'm your host, Luke Sicari, and joining me from thepickandroll.com.au is Damian Arsanis. Damo, how are you?
Very good, mate. And just quietly, a couple of big performances in college basketball this week.
Well, they're not quietly, Damo, because we're going to give them the attention they deserve. And of course, we're speaking about college basketball and Australian basketballers. So, of course, we're going to St. Mary's. I mean, where else would we go?
That's where the pipeline leads for most Aussies.
Absolutely. And boy, is a pipeline delivering at the moment, Damo.
It certainly is. St. Mary's, obviously. They've been a nationally ranked team. They lost a couple of tournament games, the Wooden Legacy Tournament the other week to Washington State and Georgia. But against Georgia, I just need to mention this. I've got to get it off my chest. Jock Landau, 33 points and 12 rebounds, 16 of 25 shooting. He was devastating. The problem is they lost in overtime. So they sort of gave up shots to Landau and closed out the three-point shooters. And that's pretty much the story of St. Mary's. They get it into Landau. He either tracks the attention and dishes out, or he'll go in and make the points. And in this game, he got the points, but the shooters didn't deliver. But he bounced back well, as St. Mary's did. They beat Cal. Next up, so a good way to bounce back to beat Cal any stretch, any day of the week. He had 13 points and 6 rebounds in a relatively quiet one for him. But the other guy we need to talk about too is Emmett Nahr, his running mate, senior point guard. Against Georgia in that overtime game, he had 21 points and 9 rebounds. And then against Cal, he had 9 assists, 13 points and 8 assists. And then they've just beaten Sacramento State today. Of course, it's Tuesday Australian time. He had 7 points and 8 assists in that game as well. But Landau, I've got to go back to him now. Let's go back.
This is a story.
37 points and 18 rebounds, 14 of 20 from the field. That's 70% shooting. And he's hit 9 of 12 from the free throw line. That's 90% from the free throw line. And it's just an absolute dominating win over Sacramento State.
37 and 18.
37 and 18, and two games previous, he had 33 and 12.
That's awesome stuff. Just quickly on Jock, I mean, obviously those numbers are sensational. Obviously, he was very, very hyped coming into the year on all the national big boards. I know it's early in the season, but judging by the numbers, the answer is yes. But has he lived up to those expectations so far? Is he exceeding them, if that's even possible?
Look, he's probably, by his own admission, there's been a couple of games where his scoring's been down. However, when his scoring's been down, the team's still been able to win. So that's certainly keeping his name up there. But with some more performances like what he put in today and certainly against Georgia, he's certainly going to have his name up in lights. Look, he's averaging 19.5 points a game with 8.3 rebounds. Yeah. So we're talking a guy that's just absolutely killing it, and we're going to hear a lot more. He's shooting 64.6% from the field. But and Emmett Nahr is averaging 14.1 points and 8.9 assists per game. So those two are really driving St. Mary's, but they're not the only ones.
No, they're not. I mean, there's plenty of Aussies over there in college at the moment, Damo. Who else is just flying under the radar at the moment and doing well?
Well, I need to mention Xavier Cooks. Now, Xavier Cooks, he was actually suspended four games ago because of something that happened at training. Now, I'm not privy to it, but apparently his behaviour did not warrant teamwork, but he's come back with a vengeance. He had 12-8 against South Carolina State in his first game back. He then had a 24-point and 10-rebound double-double with 3 assists and 2 blocks and 2 steals, just for good measure, in a win over Furman. But then, get this, in his last game, 11 points, 15 rebounds and 11 assists for a triple-double.
Wow, that's awesome. And an even triple-double as well, 11, 11 and 15. Yep. That's across the board.
We're talking about a 6'8 forward here.
Yeah, yeah.
6'8 forward. So that's just sensational. And if we move across a bit as well, so another forward, Chima Maniki. Now, I've mentioned him a few times. This guy is leading all the Aussies for scoring at the moment. He is the leading Australian scorer, and he's averaging a double-double. Get this, 21.4 points, 11.3 rebounds a game for Chima Maniki at UC Davis. And he's powering them along. They've won 3 out of their last 4, including a last 81-67 win over Washington State, where he had 19-11.
So there's plenty.
He shot 60% from the field in that game, 7 of 8 from the line. So he can do it all. And he's a bit of a dynamo, 6'6" forward. that plays well above his size. So a really fun guy to watch playing. And then I'd like to finish this college update with probably the most likely guy that's going to get drafted to the NBA, Deng Adel.
Yeah.
Deng Adel. He's a junior forward at Louisville. Louisville's been nationally ranked this season. They're right up there at the moment. I think 17 was their last rank. And he's averaging a career best 17.2 points and 5.2 rebounds with 2.7 assists. And he's been the go-to player on a Louisville team. And we're talking about a perennial contender Louisville team. They've had their problems. New coach this year, Rick Pitino, obviously getting the push out with all the drama that's been going on in college basketball. But through it all, Deng Adel is shining, and he's certainly someone to look out for. In their last win, he had 17 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. I'm pretty sure it was that. No, it was 20 points, 5 rebounds. My apologies.
Getting all your numbers mixed up.
2 blocks. I know, there's too many. And that was a 2-point loss to Seton Hall. But before that, he's just been delivering and certainly around that 20 points every game. And, I could talk about more guys, and that's just 5 of the top guys so far this year.
Well, if you needed another representation of how much, just like the magnitude and the depth of talent Australian basketball has at the moment, look at the college ranks and they're right there. Damon, we're going to move on because another guy that we know is pretty good, his name is Ben Simmons. You may have heard of him this year. He had another big game today. They lost to the Phoenix Suns, a bad loss at home for the Philadelphia 76ers. Simmons, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists and 6 steals. So just stuffing the stat sheet, in all areas like he's been doing for weeks. Look, he played well. I mean, he was 2 from 2 from the free throw line as well, which is a positive. He didn't get hacked and he was 100%. So he ticked both boxes there. I just wanted to quickly touch on more so the attention that Australian basketball is gaining from Ben Simmons. I mean, you look at the Herald Sun. The Herald Sun on Monday, Mickey Randall had a magnificent 2-page spread on Ben Simmons. He spoke to a range of coaches and scouts and ex-players and all that type of stuff, talking about how good this kid is. You had Roy Ward had a similar Simmons full-page piece in The Age a couple of weeks ago. There was another one in the weekend's Herald Sun, a double-page spread as well. He was on ABC Grandstand Radio. He's getting so much attention, mainstream media attention that the basketball hasn't normally gotten in Australia. And then it follows down to the NBL and the WNBL. And it's that flow-on effect where all of a sudden, this sport is suddenly getting more print time than sports like your A-League and your other competitors in the marketplace. I mean, it's a real positive and it's a credit. It just goes to show the marketplace is interested in individuals. It's about characters. It's about superstars. And when you've got someone like Ben Simmons, who's been this good so early and is gaining all the attention that he has, it's just so positive for the sport.
It is. And what he's doing is just incredible. He's a freshman. We've got to remember, he's a first-year player. And, I say freshman because I love my college basketball, but he's a first-year player. He's a rookie. And just to sort of bring it home, he's not just doing things that, no one's really done since Oscar Robertson. He's a Hall of Famer. He is 5th in the NBA for assists with 7.1 a game. He is 2nd in steals in the league. 2nd in steals. Yep. 2.32 a game. He's only just behind Paul George, and he's bookending. He's sort of stuck in between the Oklahoma City Thunder bookends of Paul George and Russell Westbrook. So Paul George leads the league with 2.5. Ben Simmons is 2.3. It's just incredible. And then you look at the double-doubles. He's got 12. He's 10th in the league for double-doubles.
Yeah. He's
ahead of a whole host of guys. He's ahead of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I can't even say it.
It was good enough. I'll give you that one. But I mean,
he's
like you.
Him with double doubles.
I mean, it's from a rookie. It's unreal. Is he 20, 25 games into his career, whatever it is? It's absolutely unbelievable. And like, look, we can chat about it every single week. And
We probably will, won't we?
Yeah, and there'll probably come a point where this becomes a norm. Or maybe it already is a norm. Maybe this is it now. Maybe this is what we expect. And then the bar keeps getting higher. But It's just great to see, how much backing and support it's getting from the public and the national. And that's what I'm just so, so happy about.
Yeah, and then wrap it all off. He's been named Kia Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month.
No surprises there whatsoever.
Opening of the season.
No surprises at all. Hey, Damo, we'll move on. We'll come back domestically. The NBL came
NBL,
back.
Mate.
Yes.
This is your thing.
Yeah, it was back this week, of course, at the international break. Interesting to see how teams reacted to that because it's kind of an element of the fixture that you never had to deal with in the NBL.
Well, look, it didn't work for the Breakers.
No, it didn't. You know, the New Zealand Breakers, 9-game winning streak, top of the table, the pace setters, all of a sudden, boy, did they come back to earth. They lost by 16 points to the Perth Wildcats in New Zealand. I think it was the first time the Wildcats won across the pond in about 9 or so years or something like that. It was an unbelievable record they broke. And they, I mean, look, to be fair, the final score says 16 points. Up until the three-quarter time, it was anyone's game. So they stuck with him for three quarters and the Wildcats blew him away. But then they travel to Brisbane against the Bullets team that are fairly struggling. You know, they're battling the Brisbane Bullets. And they lost again. You know, the offense wasn't there. They were missing shots, defensive breakdowns that we're not used to seeing. They were fouling a lot of fouling. A bit of undisciplined basketball that we're not used to seeing from Paul Hanare's squad. I mean, look, they're still them and the Wildcats. I want to touch on the Wildcats a bit more in depth in a moment. I mean, look, they're still up there. I think they're still the top two teams. I'm not sure how much I can read into the two-game loss, in the two losses relative to the 9 previous wins. But it does make me think, you know, maybe the week off just halted their momentum. You know, maybe they were on such a good roll, the long layoff kind of was a negative for them because it just gets you out of your flow and you're playing and all of a sudden you're back at a stagnant level when you return. You haven't played in 10 to 15 days. Work for some teams, didn't work for them.
Obviously, it didn't work for them and it was just terrible. But Perth, what are they doing right, Luke? They're doing a lot of right after what happened.
Well, what they're doing right is their name's the Perth Wildcats. They're always going to win. they still wear red. They still play in Perth and they still call it the Wildcats. So they're always going to be up there. Look, JP Tokoto, this is a guy that's come in. It's funny, he came in as an injury replacement.
Tokoto?
Yeah. Came in as an injury replacement for their other import who got injured before the season started. He is so athletic, you know. He's so bouncy. He does it on both ends. He hits shots efficiently. He passes the ball when he's needed. He'll make the big defensive play, get the big stop. I mean, Bryce Cotton didn't even have a massive game against the Breakers and they still got over the line. So that was positive. Their bench is performing. Just clicking on all cylinders. And I mean, at the end of the day, and everyone knew this coming into the season, but the NBL Championship, it goes through Perth. I mean, if you want to win the title, you've got to beat them somewhere down the track. At the moment, I'm struggling to see a team who can. I mean, New Zealand, yes, potentially that'd be the next best. I think the tier, you've got those two teams, and there's a second tier of your Melbournes and your Adelaides and your Hawks, and then maybe the Bullets and the Kings are probably still a bit below that. The Kings were 1-1 this week, so they've just simply got no room for error, despite the new additions. I think they're too far behind the eight ball to get back into the playoffs. The Wildcats, Damo, are just absolutely flying, and so are their WNBL counterparts, the Perth Lynx. Yeah. They're also, what are they, 10-game winning streak? And they're all of a sudden,
club record.
After, I think they started the season, 1-2, 1-3, they had a big, big loss to the Bendigo Spirit, I think it was. They lost by about 30, 40 points back in round 3 or 4, can't remember. I might be wrong there, but they got belted and all of a sudden, they've pulled off 10 straight off the back of Courtney Williams and Sammy Whitcomb and Alex Kunick, and they're flying, Damo.
Are they the best trio on any team in the WNBL this season?
Yeah, I think we spoke about that last week, and I think they are. I mean, the scoring power of Whitcomb and Williams is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. And then throw in a girl like Alice Kunick that can step out, hit the tray, get to the rim as well. And this is the thing. They're so versatile. And then with that Whitcomb three-point shot is just unbelievable, that quick release she had.
It is a dagger, an absolute dagger. Yeah, exactly. Very similar to Clark, Rodney Clark from the Illawarra Hawks. I saw him playing Melbourne last night. It's very similar. It's so quick. It's flat. I mean, it hasn't got much of an arc on it. So you think, how's that going to go in? And it just splashes every time.
And it does go in.
It's an absolute weapon. Hey, before we wrap up, Damo, Opal's squad. So their first camp is in February 2018 for the Comm Games. This was their extended squad. No real surprises. Maybe Rachel Jarry not being in there come as a surprise to some. I think the big surprise, not surprise, but the big inclusion, Damo, is Ezzie McBeagle from the Canberra Capitals.
What a star she's going to be for Australia over more than a decade. You know, we're talking about an 18-year-old centre that's a superstar of the game already.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's been included is just kudos to her. And, of course, she's been doing such a wonderful job with the University of Canberra Capitals this season as well. And to see such a bright young spark not only emerge on the international stage with the Australian junior teams, do so well in the WNBL in her rookie season, in essence, with the Capitals, and now to be elevated to the Opal squad is just invaluable. And it just shows some of the talent we've got coming through. You know, we talk about Liz Cambage and what it means and potentially having her back in the Opals team moving forward. But a player like Ezzie McBeager is just as good and just as excited moving forward. And, you know, the sky's the limit for someone like her. But there's a lot of talent in that team. Yeah. And the other one I want to pick out too is Susie Bakovic in there.
Yeah, she is. I mean, after her, probably say, controversial omissions from past Opals squad, she's back, and rightfully so.
We're talking about the MVP of the WNBL being left out of Rio.
Yeah, which was just, we don't have to talk about that. It was ridiculous. We all know it was. She's back in there. I mean, the squad is just, it's overflowing with talent. It'll be interesting to see the process now of training camp and who gets cut. I mean, an injury can always come up, God forbid. I mean, we saw Sarah Blitzarf. She would have been in the squad if it wasn't for her busted knee. So there's still a lot to happen, but it's a foundation now. It's a launching pad for the Opals, for Sandy Brandalo and the team. There's plenty, plenty of options there to go about. What hopefully is a successful home 2018 Com Games campaign for the Opals.
Yeah, and of course, that's ahead of the 2018 FIBA World Cup for women as well. So it's a massive year for the Opals.
Yeah, and it's probably a big, the Com Games could almost be, these training camps now, for someone like an Izzy McBeagle, who might be on the fringe of a World Cup team, these are big all of a sudden. These training camps, these Com Games, practice matches warming up, all of them are big because there's so many tournaments coming up for selection-wise and who's in, who's out. So they're going to be playing their hardest. There's no doubt about that. Hey, Damo, thanks for joining me again. It was a big one, a big edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. It always is. Pickandroll.com.au for all your latest Australian basketball news and views. The best at pickandroll.com.au. Pick and Roll AU on all the social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all there, the whole lot. Damo, thanks again for joining me on the Pick and Pop podcast.
Speaking of next week.